Did Jesus meet the centurion at Capernaum? Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity you've given us to have this conference here. Thank you for everyone here. Just pray that as we study these different issues today and tomorrow, that you would open our minds to understand what you would have us to learn about this very important issue of inerrancy. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the first slide, if the slide would have been up there, it would have been this one here. Did Jesus meet the centurion at Capernaum? That's what we're going to look at this issue. As Bob said earlier, or at this session, as Bob said earlier, this is one of those passages of Scripture where people say there's errors in the New Testament, and that's why I picked it. And then if you look at your next slide, which is Luke's theology. To understand what's happening here in Luke chapter 7, when the centurion, where we find the account of the centurion at Capernaum, I think the first thing we need to understand is Luke's theology. And what I mean by Luke's theology is, what did Luke said many things in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, the two books that he wrote. And part of Luke's theology, when you read those books, is it seems to me, and I think this is, most people agree with this, is that one of the things Luke wants to say in the books of Luke and Acts is that God reaches out to people who come from a pagan background. In other words, God is not just reaching out to Jews, but God is reaching out to Gentiles as well. And one of the messages in Luke's writings, particularly in the book of Acts, is that if you're a Gentile, if you're a non-Jew, you don't have to become a Jew first before you come to God. God will take you just as you are. Again, that's particularly clear in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what you see is often what happens is Gentiles, who Luke calls God-fearers, they're Gentiles, they're not Jews, but God calls them, Luke calls them God-fearers. In many instances, these Gentiles who fear God are believing in what the apostles preach when oftentimes the Jews don't. And these Gentiles are able to respond to what God is doing and the message that is being proclaimed. Again, that is part of Luke's theology. And based upon that, these Gentiles, these non-Jews, are able to respond to what God is doing in Jesus Christ from their own background. They don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to become Jews. They're able to believe the gospel. They're able to see what God is doing in Christ. And what you see in Luke's writings, including in the Gospel of Luke, is you see people. You see the religious Jews who don't respond to what Jesus is doing, but often you see people who are outside of the religious Jews who do respond. For example, lepers, Samaritans, women, despised women, prostitutes. And included in that group are Gentiles. And that's the point, the main point that I'm trying to make, is that Luke wants to say in his writings that Gentiles are able to see what God is revealing to them just as they are. That's the main point that I want to make in Luke's theology. And if you go to the next slide that's entitled Centurions, what I'm trying to say in this session and in the session I'm going to do tomorrow is that one of the way Luke makes this point, that Gentiles can come to God just as they are, is that Luke uses centurions. Now, who were centurions? Well, centurions were these men were a very small group of people, small group of men, who were the backbone of the Roman army. They were Gentiles, and these men were the cream of the crop in the Roman army. Normally, a man would become a centurion after 15 years or so of service. He was chosen because he was competent. In many cases, these men were very ethical. They were very rich. And again, they were the cream of the crop of the Roman army. And what's interesting about Luke's writing, both in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts is that Luke talks about four of these men. And they are very important men in Luke's writings. Well, I'll just tell you the four. One is the one at Capernaum. The next one is, which we're going to look at tomorrow, is the centurion at the cross. The next centurion that Luke addresses is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And then the last centurion that Luke deals with is Julius, who is the centurion who takes Paul to Rome to stand trial on the boat in Acts 27 and 28. But what's interesting about these four men is that Luke is very positive about these guys. They have impressed Luke, and he doesn't have a single bad thing to say about them. Even though they're Gentiles, they're not Jews, Luke does not have a single negative thing to say about them. Everything he says about them is positive. And what we're going to see is, in the two examples we are going to look at, is these men know right from wrong. They're able to see it. Even though they're pagans, even though they're not believers, they're able to see what's right and wrong, and they are able to respond to what God is revealing to them through Paul or through Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to see about these men. And in fact, what we're going to see is that these men are able to see things about God that the Jews don't see in many instances, which is kind of weird. You know, here are these men who are pagans. They worship many different gods. They're not Jews, but they are able to see that God is at work in Jesus Christ. And they're able to see that based even in their own background. In other words, they don't have to become Jews first or anything like that. Okay. And what we're going to see, as Bob said, also mentioned, is that in the two presentations that I'm going to give, first the centurion at Capernaum and then the centurion at the cross, is that there is an issue in both of these cases of inerrancy. There are many people who look at both of these men and say, when you look at the account of these two men, there are errors in the New Testament. And of course, I'm going to argue that there's not. And we're going to talk about that in both cases. Okay, the first presentation, as I've already said, is I am going to deal, first of all, with the centurion at Capernaum. And that's the next slide. And we're going to see, based upon this slide, that this centurion is making Luke's point that God is reaching out to the Gentiles, that they're able to respond to what God is doing in Jesus Christ. But there is also a question of inerrancy. And I'll go to the next slide. Inerrancy and the centurion at Capernaum. The issue of inerrancy comes up because the account of Jesus meeting this centurion at Capernaum occurs in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. That's where we see this account. And what we see when we compare Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, with Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, is what we see is that when you compare those two accounts, there are a lot of differences. And that has led people to say, because there's all these differences between what Matthew has to say about this guy and what Luke has to say about this guy, many people have concluded, therefore, that there are errors, that either Luke made mistakes or Matthew made mistakes. And that's what we're going to discuss here. So, let's look at the two accounts. If you look at your next slide, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, what I've did is I've put in bold the important issues. And these are the things that I've put in bold are the differences between Matthew's account and Luke's account. Okay, y'all follow me. When you read Matthew's account of when Jesus met the centurion at Capernaum, here are the differences between Matthew and Luke. Now, there's one thing I didn't put on this slide that I just want to point out. Number one is, in Matthew's account, in the first four verses of chapter 8, what you've got is Jesus comes to Capernaum, and as he's coming to Capernaum, in Matthew's account, what happens is Jesus heals a leper. There's a man who comes to him, he has leprosy, and Jesus heals him. Luke doesn't mention it. In fact, Luke, he knows about Jesus healing this guy, but Luke puts it in chapter 5. He moves it. So that's one of the differences we have here. That Matthew includes this healing of the leprosy before Jesus comes into Capernaum to meet the centurion. Matthew does. Whereas Luke completely removes that healing and places it somewhere else. So, Luke knows this healing takes place, but he doesn't put it in the same place Matthew does. Okay, probably the most important difference in the two accounts is in verse 5. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says this, and you've got it right on your slide. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. Here is the main difference. In Matthew's account, what happens is, as Jesus comes into the city of Capernaum, this Roman pagan centurion comes and meets Jesus and has a conversation with him. What we're going to see in Luke's account, the centurion does not come to Jesus. We're going to see that. So you can see how someone who might think there's errors in the New Testament says, wait a second, Matthew says that the centurion came and met Jesus. Luke says he doesn't. There's an error there somewhere. That's the first thing. Now, I didn't highlight this, but another difference between Matthew and Luke is if you look in verses 11 and 12, Jesus makes this statement. He says, I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says this when the centurion is there. In Luke's account, Jesus doesn't say this. Luke, just like he does with the healing of the leprosy, has it somewhere else. So, Luke has removed this. He knows that Jesus said these things, but he's placed it in another place in his gospel. So there's another difference. And then a final difference that we see between Matthew and Luke when we look at Matthew's account is in verse 13. And again, I put this in bold. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. Now, of course, in both accounts, the issue is the centurion has a slave that is very sick. And the centurion wants Jesus to heal his slave. And you know the story that the centurion says, listen, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come. In Matthew's account, we are told that Jesus says, because you have believed this, your servant's going to be healed. In other words, in Matthew's account, Jesus heals the servant because of the centurion's faith. You believe this, therefore your servant will be healed. That is different than what Luke is going to say. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, we see Matthew's account. Now let's look at Luke's account, and we're going to see the differences. Go to your next slide. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And again, I tried to put in bold the changes, and you're going to see a lot of bold here in Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. One of the things that you see is in verse 1. Remember, I told you that in Matthew's account, you have the healing of the leper. Now, in Matthew's account, the centurion at Capernaum follows the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 7. But before Jesus meets the centurion at Capernaum, Matthew has the healing of the leper. Luke does not have that. What happens is Jesus is preaching a sermon in Luke chapter 6. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. And as soon as that sermon is over, Jesus goes to Capernaum. So you see the difference. In Matthew's account, you've got this sermon by Jesus, but then Matthew has the healing of the leper, and then he goes into Capernaum. Luke doesn't do that. Jesus preaches a sermon, and immediately he comes into Capernaum. And so what you see in Luke chapter 7 verse 1 is that Luke is connecting what Jesus just taught in the Sermon on the Plain with what happens with this centurion. And that's why I put it in bold. And now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people. So Luke wants to connect what happens with the Capernaum with what Jesus just got through teaching. The next thing that you see in Luke is that Luke mentions something about this centurion. He has a servant that is sick, but Luke adds, and Matthew does not, that this servant was dear to him. This servant was somebody who was very important to Matthew, or to the centurion. But where the big differences come into play is what happens in verse 3. Remember in Matthew, the centurion comes and meets Jesus as Jesus is coming into the city. Luke doesn't tell us that. Luke says that the centurion does not come to Jesus. Instead, what does he do? He sends a group of Jews to him and asks Jesus to come heal his servant. That's in verse 3. And then another thing that we see in verse 4 is that these Jews let Jesus know that this centurion is a great guy. He is full of good works. That's missing in the Gospel of Matthew. The centurion doesn't come to Jesus and say, you know, I'm a great guy. I've done all these good works. Can you heal my servant? But in Luke's account, he sends these Jews, these religious Jews to Jesus. And when the religious Jews get to Jesus, notice what they say. You should come and heal this man's servant. Why? Because he deserves it. Why does he deserve it? Because he loves our nation. Here is a man who loves the Jews, and in fact, he's so good, even though he's a pagan, he built our synagogue. This is a great guy, and you should come do the things that he wants you to do. But it gets even more different. In verse 6, the centurion sends another group of people to him. You don't see this in Matthew. It says in verse 6 that the centurion then sent his friends to Jesus. And his friends say to Jesus, Lord, do not trouble yourself. For I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Notice, twice the centurion says to his friends, to Jesus, I am not worthy. And so what you see in Luke's account, whereas in Matthew's account, Matthew is more emphasizing the faith of this man. In Luke's account, what we are seeing is what kind of man he is. He is a good man. He loves the Jews. He built the synagogue, and he is a humble man. Twice in Luke's account, he says, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. In fact, the reason why I haven't come to you is I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. That's missing from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew simply says that when the centurion met him, he says, I'm not worthy to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. But in Luke, Luke adds that this man says, not only am I not worthy for you to come into my house, I'm not even worthy to come into your presence. That's why I didn't come myself. That's why I sent the Jews. That's why I sent my friends. And then finally, another thing that you see is in verse 9. It's a little thing, but it's another difference between Luke and Matthew. Is that when Jesus hears the centurion through his friends say, listen, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I'm not worthy even to be in your presence. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. It says in verse 9 that when Jesus heard these things, he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him. Now, the crowd that followed him were Jews. And so here's this Gentile, pagan, polytheistic man who is a good man, who is a humble man, who says, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. And when Jesus hears this, and when the centurion says, just say the word and my servant will be healed, Jesus turns around and says to the Jews, you see this guy? You see this guy? He is someone you ought to follow. His example. That's the way you ought to be. And he is saying this to the Jews. And he is saying that about a pagan, unbelieving Gentile. Okay, so go to your next slide. And I kind of summarized some of the differences between Matthew and Luke. And I put the main ones up top. In Matthew, the centurion comes to Jesus. In Luke, the centurion doesn't come to Jesus, but he sends other people. He sends two groups. He sends a bunch of Jews, and then he sends his friends. And in each case, what we see is that these people that he sends declare that this man does good works. This is a good man. In Matthew, we see that the servant is healed because of the centurion's faith. Luke doesn't even mention that. In Matthew, Jesus heals a leper first, but Luke does not. Luke gets right into Jesus teaches certain things, and then he meets the people at Capernaum. And then he adds that the servant was dear to the centurion and that Jesus turns around and tells the Jews, here's someone you ought to follow. Here's an example for you to live by. The point that I want to make is that in Luke's gospel, Luke emphasizes this man's good works. And what's interesting about that is when the Jews come to Jesus, the Jews say to Jesus, this man is worthy. Look at all his good works. That's what the Jews say about him. But when the centurion gets the message to Jesus, twice he says, I am not worthy. And so what you see is that in Luke's account, there is an emphasis on this man's character. There is an emphasis on this man's humility. That's the differences that we see in the two accounts. So, go to your next slide. We're going to deal with the inerrancy now. Did this story really take place? There are so many differences between these two accounts that many people say that Luke and Matthew just made it up. And they just added whatever they wanted to make, and this thing really didn't happen. In fact, some people say that if you turn to John chapter 4, I was surprised when I studied this because I'd never heard this before. But some people think that Matthew and Luke are really using what happened in John chapter 4 when they tell this story. We're not going to read all these verses, but you're probably familiar with the story. But in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 53, there's a story of a Jewish leader of a synagogue who comes to Jesus who says his child is sick. And he wants Jesus to come to his house and heal his child. And Jesus says, he rebukes him a little bit, and Jesus just says, your son lives, go. And the guy goes home and he finds his son well. And there are some people who say that the account of the centurion at Capernaum is just based upon John chapter 4, that account of that rich young, of the ruler of the synagogue. And they say that because the accounts in Matthew and Luke are so different that there's no way you can harmonize those two accounts. There's too many differences that there's got to be errors in it. And so what they say is that Matthew and Luke just kind of took that story in John chapter 4 and changed it. Luke changed it to his purposes, and Matthew changed it to his purposes. And so then there's an error in the New Testament. If you go to your next slide, I tried to refute that. First thing I want to say is the account of the centurion at Capernaum is not borrowed from John chapter 4. Look at the differences between John chapter 4 and the account of the centurion at Capernaum. First of all, in John chapter 4, there's a child who is sick. In the account of the centurion, it's a slave. In the account of the centurion, we got a Gentile. In the account of the guy in John chapter 4, that was a Jew. In one case, we're talking about a ruler of a synagogue. In the next case, we're talking about a Roman soldier. In the account of John chapter 4, Jesus rebukes the guy, but in the account of the centurion, he praises him. In one account, we are told in John chapter 4 that the ruler of the synagogue was saved. He believed Jesus. There is no mention of that in the account of the centurion at Capernaum. In the account of the centurion, Jesus marvels at what he sees, and in the other, there's no mention of that. In the account of the centurion, it happens at Capernaum. In the account of the guy in John chapter 4, it's another city entirely. It's at Cana. In fact, the only similarity is that Jesus heals somebody over a distance. That's the only similarity. So what I'm trying to say is Matthew and Luke did not copy John chapter 4 when they came up with, when they recounted this story of this centurion at Capernaum. Okay, go to your next slide. In fact, even though there are many differences between Luke chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8, it is very easy, very simple, and very plain to harmonize the two accounts. And if you've never done it before, I would recommend that you go to an old copy of BibSack. Zane Hodges wrote an article on this many, many years ago, I think back in the 60s. And he laid it out how these two accounts, there are no errors in them, and it's very easy to figure out what happened. Here's what happened. Jesus, the centurion has heard about Jesus and wants Jesus to come heal his servant. And so the first thing that the centurion does is he sends Jewish leaders to ask Jesus if he would come and do this for him. That makes sense. Why? Because Jesus is Jewish. And so he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send these Jewish friends of mine. And by the way, he would have had a lot of Jewish friends because he built the synagogue for them. So he says, hey, will you go tell Jesus to come heal my servant for me? That's the first thing he does. And then after the Jewish delegation leaves, the centurion says to himself, you know what? I'm not worthy for this man to come into my house. And so he sends his friends, and he goes, will you go tell Jesus not to bother? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for him to come to my house. In fact, I'm not even worthy to come into his presence myself. Would you tell him that? Just tell him to just say my servant is healed and that's good enough for me. But then after he sends his friends, the centurion gets to thinking, what is Jesus going to think about me? That I'm too important of a man to come asking myself? Besides, because a centurion was a very wealthy man, a very important man in the Roman Empire, in the Roman army. This was a man who was very high social status. And he says, you know what I've just done? I've just insulted him. What I've done is I said, I'm too important to come ask you myself. That's why I've sent my flunkies to come ask you. And that would be a very common thing for a man in the army to think. A inferior would never send another inferior to go address a superior. That would never happen in the army. And the centurion says, what in the world have I done?
For more resources, visit faithalone.org.